Hola, amigos y amigas. Welcome back to The Conscious Gringo, episode 3. And boy, do we have a special one for you today. I'm not just saying that because I'm the host. This really is a good one. And I want to ask you a question. Are you going after what you really want in your life right now? Are you pursuing what you really feel is meaningful? I know that's a big question. I'm not trying to get all philosophical on you, but I think that's at the heart of the conversation I have today with my guest, Chloe Pan. And Chloe is really interesting because she is doing something that a lot of people probably think about, but never actually have the courage or resources or time maybe to commit to. And that is going off, starting your own thing, an entrepreneurial endeavor, whether it's creative or business or whatever. Chloe and I met at a really interesting time, right at the start of my first extended stay in Mexico City. That happened to be the ignition point where I started to just meet a lot of people who were creative or entrepreneurial in some way. And I also started to have a lot of spiritual conversations with people. And it sort of coincided with a time in my life where I felt that I was seeking something more. For those that don't know, I'm an entrepreneur myself. I work in book publishing, but I also do other things like this podcast and music and writing. And I had felt for a while, probably for the last 6 months leading up to my first extended stay in Mexico City, that although I had done a lot and I had checked certain boxes in my life that I wanted to check, there was just something missing. And in particular, something that required effort and thinking that was very different than what I had done before. And I think the first small step toward a different kind of lifestyle, maybe a life with a little bit more significance that I was looking for, was coming to Mexico City, because it was different than what I had experienced before. I'd never lived outside the US. And then things started to snowball from there, just in terms of the people I would meet and conversations I would have. And a lot of it centered around like, okay, what are we really doing with our lives? What is really meaningful? What is going to leave an impact or is going to give us a certain level of fulfillment or purpose that we feel is missing? Now, Chloe's story is really interesting because she was an immigrant, having moved from China to Australia briefly, and then to the United States, and then coming to Mexico. And in Mexico, right at the beginning of her entrepreneurial journey with her jewelry brand, Ame More. And when it comes to what we talk about on this podcast in terms of travel, broadening your horizons, developing more curiosity in you, allowing you to build new habits and break down some misconceptions or perceptions you might have about the world that are just not true, or maybe you hold on to old patterns or beliefs that you just don't need. I think one thing that's really, really interesting about Chloe's story is that many people, especially here in Mexico City, might be digital nomads or entrepreneurial in some way, but a lot of them, at least in my experience, are, for example, working remotely for a company or doing something digital and online. But Chloe's story with starting a jewelry brand where she needs to make connections in person, she needs to have places to sell and make her jewelry in person here in Mexico, that's a whole different ballgame when it comes to talking to people, figuring out how to navigate a new culture with that specific frame. So just given Chloe's experience, not only moving to multiple countries, from China to Australia to the US to Mexico, learning not one but two new languages, I think she's got a really interesting perspective, not only on life, but also just what it means to go after what you really want and how that changes you along the way and develops you in ways you probably never could have predicted. So, without me yammering on and on, let's just get into the interview with Chloe. Chloe Pan, welcome to Conscious Gringo. Man, I'm so excited to have you here. It's wild. I've only known you for a short time, but life this year has just fast-forwarded and accelerated me in ways I never imagined. And I'm sure it has for you a little bit, but there's a lot of things that I'm excited to talk with you about. I'd love for you to give the listeners some context into a little bit of your background and your journey, because you and I met in Mexico City, but obviously you have been a few different places before that. And yeah, just at a high level, and then I can maybe dig down into some more specifics, but just tell me about where you're born, when you moved to the US, and then how you got to Mexico City.
Yeah, sure. So I was born and raised in Beijing in China, finished all the way to college there. And then before moving to the US, I was in Australia for a year. And then I moved to the US for part of my grad school. And then I stayed in New York for the past 10 years, working as a software engineer until 2024, when I quit my job. And then I moved to Mexico City and did a complete career switch. And now I'm running a handmade jewelry brand called Amemori, based off of Mexico City. So yeah, that's a very brief intro packed with information, I guess. But that's what I have done so far.
Yeah. One thing, just kind of as a comment, that came to me as you were saying that is, like, the United States has for so long been this destination for immigrants throughout a lot of US's history, as I understand it. So many people from all over the world had come to the US. Now, without veering too much into the political side of things, because yeah, we were talking earlier, we want to keep this podcast chill, but you know, it's definitely a topic for future and ongoing discussion. But I wonder, and not even just in a political sense, but for economic reasons, for climate reasons, for all sorts of other reasons, I wonder about the United States and its sort of status as that destination for immigrants. Obviously, it's still a thing, but one of the interesting things for me in going to Mexico City was seeing some of the blinders that I had on about life in the United States, because I hadn't lived anywhere else. And that I knew that I had some blinders there, but I didn't know exactly what I was being blinded to. And of course, yeah, every country has its problems and its issues, but it did change something for me of, like, okay, wow, I had this really great experience here. And now I have it to compare with life in the US and what I do and don't like about life in the US, what I do and don't like about life in the 3 months that I got an understanding of it in Mexico City. But I'm curious for you, in terms of the timeline of, you were in China until you were how old?
I finished college there. So I'm trying to calculate, like, against my age. But, like, yeah, the majority of my life I spent in China, and then I moved after that.
Wow. Okay. So a pretty formative time in your life then to move from China to the US. And what prompted the move to the US?
Well, I think back then, I think even now, everywhere in the world, they still think the US as the number one country, where if you go there, you can have a better education, better opportunity to earn more money, better job, all that kind of stuff. So for me, especially back then, when I graduated from college, every one of my friends, including my parents, they're all thinking, okay, you're going to go to the US, get a better education, live a better life. So I think that was kind of the reason why me and a lot of the people I know moved in the first place.
Now, at this point, was that like any sort of preparation that you had done? Like, were you already learning English, like, when you were younger in order to?
Yeah, definitely. Well, in China, it was required. I think, like, for different cities, they're different. But for me, I started studying English when I was in kindergarten. And then starting from, like, grade school all the way to college, English is a required subject to learn. So, but, like, everything we learned were kind of like textbook English. Well, like, a lot of Chinese people, we can read, but it's harder to speak and all that stuff. So yes, to prepare for moving to the US, I had to take a lot more classes, exams, and practice and all that.
Yeah. One thing that I was talking about with another guest that still kind of just continues to blow my mind the more I meet and talk with people in different countries is how much of the world has adopted this, you know, hey, let's all learn English in addition to what we normally speak. And the idea of the like English either being like this sort of international language for business, like so many people need to understand it for work or for school, and the average everyday American, speaking from my experience, you know, they might take Spanish or French or whatever in high school, but for a lot of us, it's just kind of like this, yeah, let's dabble around with Spanish, but we're never going to need to use that. Yeah. It's just beautiful to me that so many other places in the world start with that bilingual development. I think it's a wonderful thing to have when you're younger. It kind of gives you, you know, just, I don't know, probably I would think, but you tell me, that it's made it a little bit easier to learn other languages from having that sort of bilingual starting point. Or do you feel like it's still a challenge?
I feel like learning Spanish has been a little bit challenging for me, maybe because I'm learning it as an adult. I think in my family, my mom has always been pushing me to learn new languages. Like in high school, I also took Japanese. And then when I was in college, I had a minor degree in French, even though it didn't help my Spanish at all. And after not speaking it for many, many years, I already forgot everything. But when I started learning Spanish, it felt, I don't know, like maybe I'm just too conscious about how I sound as an adult when you speak a different language. It's a little harder, but I think moving to Mexico definitely helped. You had to really immerse yourself in that environment in order to practice. I think that coming from a funny little story, because when I was younger, my mom was really into me speaking a second language really well. So at a younger age, my mom used to ride her bike. Like back then, no one has a car. So she rode her bike for an hour. I sit in the back of the bike, and she took me to a lot of the touristy places in Beijing where a lot of foreigners come in and travel, forced me to go small talk with those people to practice my English when I was like 8 or something. Like she does that every weekend, just pushing me to like talk to strangers in English. And back then, not a lot of people in China speaks English. I remember there were a lot of vendors over there. They're all approaching my mom, like asking her if I could help them to sell their stuff. My mom was like, no, 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 she's only practicing English. But yeah, I think at that age, I already know, like, I have to really go out and speak to talk to people in order to, like, be better at languages.
Wow. Well, first of all, your mom sounds awesome. That's hardcore. But, yeah, I'm sure you didn't feel that at the time. But, yeah, that's amazing. It's something I've reflected on a little bit, too, as I've been back in Texas, where I feel like, when even if you have an interest in another culture or you want to start trying to speak the language, there is, I felt for me, and I feel like I can see this just in terms of how like different communities interact here in Austin, there is sort of like this hill you have to get over, or this like inertia, because you're very self-conscious of how you sound, or you just naturally think, at least for me, when I'm around town in Austin, there's a lot of Hispanics, a lot of Mexicans, a lot of Spanish-speaking people here. But you can see, you know, the communities that develop that are primarily, you know, Mexican or Hispanic. And there's, just from observing, there's not a lot of overlap. The white people go to the white people places, and the Mexicans kind of hang out in their areas. And you can tell when you like look or feel out of place. But when you're in another country, and you don't really have the choice of like staying in your bubble, at least not quite in the same way. I've talked with a few people about the expat bubble in Mexico City and how that can be an issue to break out of. But like you're saying, it's awesome that your mom kind of instilled that sort of experience in you early on, because I'm sure that kind of helped you both in the US and in Mexico City of like, okay, this is really how I'm going to develop quickly. It's like, I just got to talk to people who look different than me, don't speak the same language. And yeah, practicing that language in a very intentional way. Now that I've had that experience in Mexico City, it's made it a little bit easier coming back here. I don't feel the same reservation going up into a place that might just be like, there's no white people in there, or I know that they're all going to be speaking Spanish in there. Because even before, when I was practicing, I knew that I might be able to go in and say a little something, but without that experience of being kind of immersed in the different culture, I just didn't have the confidence to try and do that here. So I'm curious to know about when you moved to the US, was there any sort of hesitance or reservation on your part to do that? Or did it feel like, no, this is a natural like next step. I want to do this. I'm excited about it.
I mean, part of it, I really don't want to leave home. It was kind of like, I'm not very good with saying goodbyes. So that was always like a very sad moment for me. But yeah, on the other hand, I was very excited because even since I was younger, I knew that I don't really fit well in the Chinese work culture. Because over there, you have to be really, I'm searching for the word, like a lot of it depends on like how well-rounded you are, like how you work with people. And a lot of the things are not just work. So I visited the US before and I felt like the work culture in the US is more straightforward. When you are finished work, you go home, you're just done. Your work and life are kind of separated and you have a better work-life balance. But in Asian culture, you don't really have that. So for that, my entire family, including myself, thought I would do better in the US. So I was kind of excited about that, like to have some new experiences, to be in an environment that's potentially better for me.
This is going to connect a few dots later when we get to talking about your jewelry brand, but I'm curious what about the culture of work in China, what's an example of how it might have been more sort of, it sounds like maybe more, you just had less free time or less personal boundaries around work?
Yeah, I think so. I think like in Chinese culture, everything works like a community. Your individuality is not that important comparing to in the Western culture. Granted, I think in the recent years, it's getting better and better. A lot of younger people are noticing that, oh, I want my personal space. But we have like thousands of years of culture. And in that culture, like a family or like the society in general, we work as a community. So most of the older generation just thinks that, oh, you are part of the company. Like you just have to divulge yourself into that. And then like, for example, it's very common in China, like after you go home from work, your boss can still reach you and say, do this. And even if it's on the weekend, it's very common. And you're expected to work like a machine and always trying to get better. You're expected to work longer hours. And for example, when I was in China doing internship, you cannot leave your work if your boss is still at work. Even if you already finish your whole day of work, you have to sit at your desk pretending you're working until your boss leaves and go home. So those things really get to me. I really hated it. I think in the US, it doesn't really matter. You just need to finish your portion of work and then you have control of your free time and no one is supposed to call you when you're on vacation. Or maybe I was just lucky that I got a really great boss like that. But that has been my experience and I really love that work-life separation.
Yeah, it's funny because if we had a few more Americans in the room right now, they'd probably be like, work-life balance in the US? What? You know? But it's funny to hear a different example because it's easy to take for granted. I think Americans work very hard. There is a challenge, although like you're saying in China, it's also changing here in terms of the culture of work. People are starting to feel more empowered to take more time for themselves and have clear boundaries. But the kind of running joke, there's so many memes about this in the US work culture about like, we'll take our 2 sick days in order to have an open heart surgery, but our out of office message will say like, oh, I'll get back to you in 15 minutes. Sorry, whatever. You know, like we're so attached to work, even if we try to put boundaries around it. Whereas compared to some other places in the world, maybe the more European way of life, different countries and cultures there where they just have built a system, it seems, of valuing and having so much more free time. So for us in the US, I feel like we're still in the mud, it seems, sometimes, of feeling like we work all the time, although we have made a lot of progress to fix that. So yeah, tell me about moving to the US, adjusting to the culture, some of the differences that you felt, things you liked, things that were a challenge. What was that like, especially in your 20s, right?
Yeah, it has definitely been a journey. I think the biggest difference between China and the US, or even, well, now I know like Chinese culture, culture in the US, and then like Mexican culture, I think that was also part of why I drowned to like Mexico so much. It's like Mexican and Chinese, we're all like very family oriented. I think we're a little more, almost like the space between two people are a little closer, or like the space is like shorter. Whereas in the US, it's more about individuality. Like you are not allowed to ask someone's age, or yeah, saying this might sound weird. Like you just feel like everyone has sort of a wall. Like you have to get really close to this person, then you start to learn a lot of the stuff. But before that happens, it's a lot of small talk. Like you have to be really respectful of certain things. But I think in Asian culture, in like at least in Mexican culture, people are just a little more chill about those things, and which sometimes make it seem like the space between people are a little like we're not as distant. For example, every time I go back to China, we'll just be like talking to the waiters, and the waiters already know a lot about you, like how old you are, how much you make. And when I step, even though if it's the first time that you see each other and you be joking around just like old friends, that kind of thing, I feel like those kind of things don't really happen in the US. In China, we're more family oriented or community oriented. So you don't really consider yourself purely just yourself. You have to always consider how other people feel when you say something, how would the other person feel about it, or if you do this thing, would that impact other people's life, or is it more inconvenient for them? So we consider a lot of that when we do things and say things in Asian culture. But in the US, I think people are a lot more direct. They're working for themselves. Not saying like people are not considerate, but they're more about this is what my thoughts are. But in Asian culture, even if your thoughts are like that, you don't say it. So a lot of like cultural difference like that.
It's funny what you're saying about the ease of building connection in Asian cultures and in Mexican culture. I felt a similar way. Someone that I used to volunteer with here in Austin, she was Mexican, and there were some Mexican people at the place I volunteered at. She was saying how sometimes Mexicans can ask a lot of questions about other people, and it can almost seem like it's being perceived as them being nosy. They're like, oh, what's your family like? Do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Blah, blah, blah. She was saying like, there's that curiosity there that some people will be like, whoa, why are you asking me all these personal questions? So, and then what you're saying about, yeah, the family aspect and the sense of like individuality in the US, I think is really interesting and maybe has been more sort of top of mind for me and maybe even culturally here in the last 3 to 4 years when we saw all these crazy layoffs happening. And a lot of people for the first time were like, man, not only is my job not as secure as I thought it was, but like, I think here in the US, we don't, because we're not as family oriented, we kind of feel like we're more out on a limb or like more at risk when things like that happen. At least I did. Of course, my family's still there, but it's just like that sort of support system, I feel like, is a little bit more absent for us Americans because we are so focused on our individuality and like, how am I growing and advancing in my career, making more money? I don't think always invest as much time into all the other elements and dimensions of our lives that bring us that fulfillment and security. So for a lot of people, they lose their job. They're like, my whole world is falling apart. Whereas maybe if they had a different sort of emphasis on family and community, it wouldn't have felt that way. So yeah, in addition to like getting adjusted to how people build relationships in the US, What was it like starting to work, starting to spend more time just living in the U.S.? Because was it just in New York City, or were you in a few other places in the U.S.?
I was, like, when I first arrived in the U.S., I was in Pittsburgh for school. And after I graduated, I stayed in New York for the rest of the time.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, I love Pittsburgh. Some people describe it as a hidden gem. I've only been there once, though, so I can't, you know, you have a lot more experience than me there.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I feel like I don't really know Pittsburgh that well because I only spent a year there because my program was like, I was in a master's program and it was 1 year in Australia and 1 year in Pittsburgh. And the year in Pittsburgh, like my school was just very, very demanding. There were a lot of the days I'm still doing my assignment until like 5 a.m. I'm crying and like doing my assignments, like submit it at 6 a.m. the deadline. So I didn't really get to go out that much. And a lot of sadness has been connected to this city because my experience there are really, really stressful. Granted, I did learn a lot at school and it helped me landed on a really good job. But yeah, like a lot of the memories are not that fun.
Wow. Well, yeah, we might be coming from the opposite end of the spectrum because I was there on like a vacation and you there doing this intense schoolwork. So somewhere in the middle, I'll have a Pittsburgher on before too long. But well, yeah, tell me about your life in New York City and what you were doing there, because obviously New York City has such a presence in American culture. If we talk about the U.S. being a melting pot, New York City is like the prime example of that. And you know, basically every culture in the world has some presence there, it seems. So what was that like for you coming from China? Were there things that, you know, obviously there's a lot of Chinese people in New York City, so you had communities that you could access and engage with, but all the other things culturally that were there, what was that like for you adjusting to life in America in such a big and vibrant city like New York City?
Yeah, I really, really love New York. I think it was really a luxury for me to be able to spend my 20s in New York City. I think New York City will forever be part of me and made me who I am today. And it was really a great experience for me because before New York City, my first interaction with the Western world was in like a small city in Australia and then Pittsburgh. I guess it's like a small-ish city in the U.S., so when I was there, I definitely faced some like bigger culture shock and also like no access to the food I was used to or like some occurrence of racism towards me as a Chinese girl. And so I really didn't feel that great back then until I moved to New York. I realized, whoa, the world is so diverse and you can have the most authentic Chinese food here and people don't really care about like how you look or where you're from because it's just really a melting pot. And I get to try all kinds of different cuisines from all over the world. I get to experience all the latest and greatest. Like I was really into Broadway shows and those kind of shows at one point. Anything that you can find elsewhere in the world, it will premiere in New York. There's so much to see, so much to experience, so much to learn, and you can really feel like you're part of it. The energy is just so great. So I think that definitely helped me to open my mind and to grow into the person I am today. Even though I moved out of New York, because like I lived here for a very long time, I would say like 10 years is a long time for me. But yeah, whenever I come back, I could still feel that energy.
Yeah. And I think those energies probably started to build something in you that led you to Mexico City, which I want to get to in a minute. But I'm curious, one of the things I'm really interested in with talking about on this podcast is how travel and particularly spending extended time in other countries, other cultures really changes you and opens you up not only to just new ways of perceiving the world, of perceiving other people, but also how it changes you And I know I've felt that in the what relatively little traveling I've done in the grand scheme of things, but that's why I was drawn to spend the 3 months that I have so far in Mexico City was, you know, I don't have any other experience really living anywhere other than the U.S., so I want to see what happens. So I'm curious for you, as you started to spend more time in the U.S., in particular in New York City, were there any specific things that you noticed that sort of changed about you, whether it was your personality or your mindset or just different things about you that maybe were surprising or interesting to you in terms of how you were living?
Yeah, definitely. I would say, quoting my friends, they think I'm a completely different person comparing to when I was back in China. I think there are a lot of things that contributed to it. It's not just the city. I was also getting older and transitioning from someone who was in school into a work environment and all that stuff. My mom thinks that I'm getting more and more Americanized and I'm less and less considerate comparing to like a true Asian person, because a lot of the times I would say more straight out of what's on my mind instead of being very indirect and considerate, which is the Asian way. Sometimes that can come off as offensive or selfish. So there was a period of time where both me and my mom had to adapt to the new me. Those are just things that kind of I got those feedbacks from people around me. I think for me, the most important thing that I learned in New York for my personal growth was that after I had my job, I started to have my own income. Because before, I was always a STEM girl. In my whole life, I'm always drawn to science. Everything I learn, I just like computer and all that stuff. I don't really get access to art and things outside of the STEM world. But after I lived in New York, there's just so many things. And I started to get access to a lot of the stuff that I didn't know I liked, but now I really love, including what I'm doing right now, because I started to, outside my job, since I had the work-life balance, I started taking a lot of art classes, learning different things like making jewelry and making like textile and a lot of things. At some point, I feel like I've had too many hobbies. It's just like suddenly my world is open. I got access to so many things. So I think that also really helped me to transition into this stage of my life where I feel more confident about who I am, what I'm capable of, and what I like outside of what I've been majored in.
Wow. Okay. Well, first of all, I just love the idea of New York Chloe coming back to China and being like, hey, I'm walking here, you know, like the stereotype that we have of New Yorkers in the US is very distinct. And I think pretty endearing. And it's, yeah, it is so funny, like how New Yorkers can be so direct and how that's like something that's very present. And, you know, you will see it, you'll hear it. But also my time in New York City, I was like, actually, because that's such a strong stereotype, I was really surprised at how like kind everyone was, like, because yeah. I had this expectation in my mind that like, man, all these New Yorkers are just going to be super rude and like yell at me. And I mean, yeah, you'll hear people that kind of talk that way. But in general, no, like everyone that I've met there has been really, really nice.
Yeah, it's direct. Like you can be direct and nice at the same time.
Yes.
Well, that's what I really love about here. You don't have to. Yeah, because sometimes being indirect requires a lot of work. Be direct, but nice, like respectfully.
Yeah. And I think it, like clarity is kindness. It's its own form of being nice when you just say exactly what you mean in order to be as honest as possible with that person. So yeah, being exposed to things that you didn't even know you wanted, I think is a really important and enlightening aspect of travel and experiencing different cultures. You don't know what's out there until you see it. You don't know what you don't know. So obviously you're not still working the job that you had in the U.S., you've since moved to Mexico City. So tell me about when that started to come up for you, of you feeling like, hey, maybe this isn't what I want to do. Maybe I don't want to work for this company. Maybe I do want to do something different with my life. How did that start to come up? What did you start to feel that made you consider leaving the US?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, well, as I mentioned, I have been in the same company, almost in the same team for the past 10 years. And I loved my team. I have the best boss and best teammates. And we almost felt like family, which was the biggest reason why I stayed for so long. But I think 1 or 2 years before I decided to leave, I started to feel this reluctant feeling of I just didn't want to work. Where every day I go into work, I can easily finish the work very quickly, but I just don't want to. I don't have any motivation. And that's when I started to think, like, what is wrong with me? Or am I looking for something different? And I started to read a lot of, I love reading about like psychology and like books in kind of this genre. And I start to think, what do I really want? Maybe the reason why I feel this way is because it's not fulfilling part of my desire, but I don't know what it was. But after exploring it for like a year or two, I realized that I think the corporate job was really killing my creativity, and I don't really like working under someone's order. The product that I do is only making richer people richer, or it's something that doesn't really bring any help to the world in the way that I want to. I realize for me, the two very important things are creativity and helping people. Back then, I felt like my job didn't provide any of these two. I was at a point where I think, okay, I can take a little break from work to figure out what I want to do for the next 10 years. Because at my old job, I could easily see myself living the same life for the next 30 years and having nothing to change, but I wasn't motivated at all and I wasn't really happy. So I think that was the point where I thought, okay, back then I was like 33, 34. I feel like it was my time to really go and explore. So yeah, that's why I quit my job. And it was like a whole journey to really find what I love right now. It was not easy, but I'm glad at least I found something that right now, every day I wake up, I feel very passionate, even though it's very overwhelming, but I do feel passionate about it.
Well, yeah, what you went through, I think, is on a broader scale or a bigger sense, a reckoning, I think, that we're kind of having in U.S. work culture right now, where especially since the pandemic, when that sort of just blew up everything and people started working from home and maybe they never had before or just had more free time than maybe they ever had before, they just started to think more about like, oh, okay, what am I doing exactly? And I think a lot of people have had that realization of, oh, the work I do really isn't that fulfilling, or I haven't given myself enough time to even examine what it is I really want. So as you were reaching that realization and you also had this more exposure to art and creativity and starting to exercise that, and you realized you wanted to leave the US, well, first of all, what was it about? Like, did you consider other places you wanted to move that maybe were in the US, or were you just like, no, I want something totally different? And what brought you to Mexico City specifically?
Yeah, so I think I visited Mexico City like 5 or 6 times before I decided to move. I didn't really consider other places in the U.S. just because, like, I think everywhere in the U.S. is kind of expensive these days. And also, I was just really drawn to Mexico City or, like, Latin American culture, like how free it felt, and also how like the similarity that I mentioned between that and Asian culture. So I felt like I'm at a cousin's home, that kind of feeling. I really loved that. So I think my decision of doing a career switch kind of happened hand in hand with moving to Mexico City, because I just, and also my company did not allow remote work. I think that was also why I was like, okay, I have to quit, because I really want to move to Mexico City.
So first of all, kudos to you for having the bravery to do that. And from what I understand, you did have certain ducks in a row, like you had enough savings to be able to go out and take that risk, but it's still a big risk. So yeah, you moved to Mexico City and you feel a certain kinship with the culture, which is beautiful. And at this point, did you have an idea about a jewelry brand when you got to Mexico City, or was that still to come? Was that not an idea yet?
Yeah, my brand was established just before I moved to Mexico City. And I think that was one of my flaws, I think, is like I always procrastinate. And I have been taking jewelry classes since like maybe seven or eight years ago. But I have only been making jewelry for myself. And my friends has been telling me you should start a brand, but I just never felt like it until I was about to move. And back then I was living in Brooklyn. That's where I think everyone is so crafty. I love going to the craft fairs. So I thought to myself, this was probably going to be my last chance to go to the craft fairs and living the dream. So I started my brand just 3 months before I moved, which probably the worst timing, but I started doing that. But I didn't think that I was going to continue it, because back then I thought there was going to be no way for me to do all these in Mexico. And while I'm traveling and packing really light, there is just no way to do a physical business. I didn't really do anything about my brand in the first year. But I think this year I found out that it's a possibility, and I really started to work on it. And everything has been going really well for me so far, which I feel really lucky about.
So yeah, first of all, just explain for us a bit about what is your brand? How did you come up with this concept, and what makes it, you know, you and your sort of philosophy behind it?
Yeah. So my brand, the name is Amemori, and I make handmade sterling silver jewelry with it. And the concept is I want to make something that's both cool and sweet, but with a little quirkiness. I think the concept of my brand has been really evolving, because when I first started it, I was just making things that I like, but I didn't really have a very defined concept. And throughout the markets I go to and throughout my personal development, I start to realize this is a way of my personal expression. And I start making things that I really love or close to who I truly am. And now I think I have a more defined concept. And that's, I think, also part of the reason why I really love running the brand. It's a self-definition or self-exploration. I'm really finding myself in the process of establishing this brand.
Which is a beautiful sort of alignment with moving to Mexico City and being in this totally different place. I mean, I know you said you'd been there several times before, but to actually live there is different. So tell me about that process, especially over the last year or so, of living in Mexico City, adapting to the culture, and how your own, you know, creative and entrepreneurial journey with your brand evolved as part of that.
Yeah, I think moving to Mexico City, maybe it was because I've been there before, or it could be the culture is like similar to Asian culture. I didn't really feel much of a culture shock compared to when I was moving to the US from China. And I also was lucky to be able to make a lot of friends there. One thing I noticed is that back in New York, the majority of my friends are working in finance or like engineers, because I was an engineer. So like all the friends I have are very similar, like in one industry. But everyone I met in Mexico are mostly artists, or they have a desk job, but they have something that they run on the side, like that's art related. And it really, I think that part really encouraged me to pursue my career in art because it just felt so natural and so easy. And it just almost feel like something you should do, which is different from how I felt when I was in New York. And I think through the help of my friends, I really get to develop my brand a lot more and experience the culture a lot more as well.
Yeah. And tell me about specifically what you're doing is interesting because it requires a physical presence. Not only do you need somewhere to be able to make this jewelry, but you also are going to be selling it in person in a lot of places in Mexico City. I think that's super interesting because a lot of people in today's world, we have the whole digital nomad culture where they can move around and they work for a company remotely, or maybe they have their own business, but they're building, you know, an app or something. But in your case, the business you started like has this physical element to it. So what was that like for you in terms of getting up the courage to put yourself out there, especially if you're trying to approach some business or someone you want to collaborate with about the jewelry brand? But yeah, what was that like to find potential buyers or places that you could collaborate with and sell, given that you're still relatively new to Mexico City and still learning Spanish and still adjusting to the culture?
Yeah, well, it has definitely been a journey because before moving, I basically don't speak much Spanish. And the first couple of months I was there, I'm just really trying to get my Spanish to even just day-to-day level to order food and talk about simple things. So when I was about to start doing the stuff for my brand, I was really nervous because speaking day-to-day Spanish is one thing and speaking domain specific, like silversmith related Spanish is a very different thing. But I think it's just like channeling this energy of my mom pushing me to go talk to people when I was younger. I just felt like I just have to do it. So yeah, there was a lot of times that I would Google Translate everything, like read them a couple of times before I actually go talk to the people at the store. But I think everyone was so welcoming and they're really trying to understand you. Granted, there were a couple of times I think there was miscommunication. They understood the wrong way and the order was not right. But I think it's a learning curve. Now I think I'm on a good stage, even though my Spanish is still not that great, but I could communicate, like doing all the orders correctly and all that. And it has also pushed me because I'm a pretty introverted person. And I didn't really like to go out and meet a lot of, especially people that I'm not familiar with or people who work in a different industry. I have no background in the fashion industry at all. So a lot of the times I have imposter syndrome and thinking I'm not good enough. So like I go talk to those people, they're going to think I'm just a joke. I used to really think in that way, but I think just in order to build my brand, it has really pushed me to be more open, be more extroverted, go reach out to people. And then I realized that talking about my brand, my design process, it's almost like a self-expression. It's something I love talking about. So it actually didn't feel like that much of a burden. And people really appreciate, at least in Mexico City, I think people love hearing about it and love talking about it. So I think it made my life a lot easier and made me a lot more extroverted in that way, just being in the community and reaching out. And yeah, it helped me grow a lot in that aspect.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I was going to ask, do you feel like it's helped you maybe access sort of a different side of Mexico City and Mexican culture, or maybe even making new or different kinds of friends because you have this business that requires you to go out and talk to these different people?
Yes, for sure. Like, for example, I used to just hang out in the bubble, near the bubble in Mexico City. But now the place I go work is mostly in the centro. So I have to really take the subway all the time and then go there. I used to think it's a little chaotic. Now I'm used to it and I know all the places and the people there. Like, to work in Mexico is also a little different because I feel like the expectations are a little different, because I used to work with the casters, like to cast metal. This is like a special term in the jewelry world. In New York, they always have a process. Like, they will send you an email, they will give you this receipt, very formal things, and they will tell you exactly at what hour you can pick up these things. But there, it's very, everything is very loose. So you really have to maintain the relationship with them. Sometimes you have to chase after them. If the order may or may not come out at the set time, things like that, I really have to get used to. But it's been a fun journey for sure.
Amazing. Well, yeah, in terms of things that can grow and change you, I mean, in my entrepreneurial journey, you know, that's stretched me a lot. And travel is another one, and you're doing them both. So huge kudos to you, Chloe. As we round this out, anything else that you want to comment on about your brand or your experience in Mexico City, especially being still relatively new to both your entrepreneurial journey and living in Mexico City?
Yeah, I mean, so far, I think Mexico has been really great to me. And I think, like, one thing I've always been thinking about doing is, like, if there is any way I can give back to the people or the community there. I think, like, this year, I just wanted to do more volunteer work. And also, I think it's lucky that I run a physical brand there. So, for example, I'm trying to find more suppliers that's like Mexican suppliers, and to replace some of the materials I use that I source from outside. So just do my best to contribute a little, just a little bit more to the society or people that I like. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to live there. So I want to really be able to give back more this year.
It's beautiful, the unexpected things that will come out of that, and of just being open to exploring and trying those things. Like, for me, this whole idea for this podcast started, honestly, in Mexico City. And then I collaborated with someone who at the time was my Airbnb host, and now she's become a friend, Maria. Yeah. I never would have imagined that my Airbnb host would eventually be creating the artwork for my podcast.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just been so much fun. And even, you know, the little bit of business I conducted with her, like, just sending her this email in Spanish, I'm like, what am I doing right now? I'm like, I never would have imagined that this is my life now, you know?
So I get it. Yeah, I feel like for some reason, sorry, like, I cut you off, but like, I just wanted to add to that, because for some reason, just feel like making connections in Mexico City was a lot easier. Maybe it's like going back to what I said about, I think people are just feeling closer to each other or not really holding a wall when you're talking to someone else. Because it's funny, because I found my caster, my supplier, through my Airbnb host too. Like, the first couple of Airbnb I stayed in when I first moved, one of the hosts, she also does jewelry. So she gave me a lot of tips on where to go and who to talk to. So that has really helped me to build my business. And so, yeah, you never know who you talk to and what it brings to you.
Yeah. And I think Mexico City in particular has a little bit of magic to it in terms of just those creative, entrepreneurial, just really interesting people. So many people that I've met have that tendency. So, Chloe, this is amazing. Super excited to see what you do with your jewelry brand and how you continue to thrive in Mexico and who knows where else from here. But thank you so much for joining me today. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about in the future. We'd love to have you back to talk more about entrepreneurship and creativity, and weaving that in with travel, I think, is a really beautiful thing. And you having this experience in Mexico City certainly seems like it's been transformative for you. So I love to see that. Thank you so much for being on. This is an amazing conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And I can't wait to come back. We'll be right back.
Well, there you have it, amigos y amigas. That was my conversation with Chloe Pan. I hope that inspired you, even if you don't consider yourself entrepreneurial or creative. I think Chloe's story is emblematic of just the potential that lives in all of us. So many times we talk ourselves out of something that could be better for us, something that could be a new or exciting direction, simply because we're afraid, whether it's we're afraid we don't have enough money, or we're afraid we're going to fail, or we're afraid of what people are going to think of us, or any number of excuses we could come up with. Now, I don't want to turn the end of this podcast into some motivational speech, but I do think it's really, really important that we have examples to reflect on with someone like Chloe, because she's living proof that even if the path doesn't look clear to you, you'll find it along the way. And I've felt that many, many times, especially this year with the different things I've done. Sometimes not only was I unsure of the direction I was going and where the path was taking me, I wasn't even sure if there was a path at all. I didn't know if I was about to step right off a cliff and fall down into some dark canyon. But I can tell you that a lot of times in life, the path is made by walking, and it's not something that's carved out for you and that you just have to find. It's something that you make yourself. And I was really inspired by Chloe's story because we all need that. We all need that proof and that validation from other humans that the things that we maybe sometimes secretly hold on to and desire, but for all the million reasons that we can come up with or that society tells us we just shouldn't pursue, no. Find out for yourself. No one else is going to live your life for you, so you better get started living it the way you really feel is best. And sometimes that's a matter of figuring that out along the way. So, okay, motivational speech over. If you want to follow Chloe's work, you can check out amemori.design on Instagram, and that's AmeMori, amemori. And you can also check out amemori.shop for the website. Now, I hope you're fired up. I hope you're ready to go do something amazing with your life today, whether it's a very small step in the direction toward the life you want, or maybe it's just sitting down and reflecting on, okay, am I where I want to be in life? That's very important too. That's very worthwhile. So go do it, get after it, and I'll see you in the next episode. Nos vemos.